So who am I? I'm Kevin MacDonald, and my wife, Rhonda, and I have been married for 38 years. Woohoo!
Oh, that's awesome. How did you do it?
Well, my wife.
That's how it happens.
And then there's God, but God and Jesus are pretty close. You know, God and Jesus and wife are pretty close. I was told strictly not to talk about my wife today, and I've already broken the rule. I used to tell the church in Waynefleet when I was pastoring there that every time I spoke about my family, I had to give them $5. I left Waynefleet $65,000 in debt. But anyway, that's a whole other... So anyway, Rhonda and I have three boys. And my oldest is here today, and I'm glad for that. He just turned 34, and he's an executive chef, and I've sampled every food that he's eaten, or cooked, rather, and I've eaten. And he's an amazing man. And then I have my middle son, Curtis, who is married to Jamie, and they have... Eden, who's 7, soon to be 8, and then Barak, who's 4, and they're just wonderful children. Then my youngest son, Jordan, and his wife, Ninoska, I think Jordan's 30 now, 34, and they have two children. Bo is 3, going on 103. He is a handful. Oh boy! And then there's Mia. She's the same as Allison and Kyle's little Kemper. Just beautiful, beautiful age. And every once in a while, I'll hold her and she'll just smile and she'll beam. And then all of a sudden, she'll look around. No mom and dad. And I'll say, it's okay, Mia. Aren't these precious children? So we have 4 grandchildren. And why have we come to Niagara Falls? As I said, at the end of 2020, actually we moved to Chippewa in January 1st, on the 1st, from Waynefleet. I had been pastoring a Disciples of Christ church for 14 years. It was a long story, and I have shared my testimony a couple times with the youth of yesterday. And at the same time, as I was pastoring out in Waynefleet, was working on my master's degree and then into my doctorate. And it was always such a refreshing time to be able to go into Tyndale and Toronto and sit in class and listen to the... I was always the oldest one in the class. The younger people were so refreshing to me as I listened to their way of viewing the world and what it looked like to them and what the church looked like. And there was... For a couple courses, I went to McMaster University in Hamilton, and that being on the campus with 15,000 other students, it was, you know, just sitting out and having your lunch and listening and looking at the characters of, you know, that it was really, and so things were going really, I thought, awesome, and the degree that I was taking was a practical ministry degree, and so the thesis that I would work on had to be created in the context of the ministry that you were in, and so that was challenging to me because, as I said, there was a long reason why I was in a Disciples of Christ church, and if you don't know what that is, it's somewhat a kind of a broad brush from. Very similar roots to Pentecost, and then over to almost the extreme liberalism. And depending, I was in a Church of Christ, which is more conservative, and that's why I felt comfortable in that context. I didn't get called to the denomination. It was more to the body of people that were there. But I was really struggling with wanting to bring a program or a ministry in that context, because I was saved Pentecost, saved in the context of being filled with the Spirit and speaking in other tongues and dancing in the Spirit. And I knew that many that sat before me in Waynefleet wanted that, but it was so suppressed that it was quite challenging. Mind you, I give it my best to break through some of that. But COVID hit. Dirty, rotten COVID. But anyway, what it did for me was it really shook me up. And I just knew that for all of the things that were happening in my life, and there were a lot of things just kind of coming to the perfect storm, I just knew that it was time to. And I'm coming upon, like, I'll be 50. I am 58. And I'm thinking, you know, down in one, I think it's Zaire's, they have one of those machines you can sit on and it measures your blood pressure. But if you take your feet off the ground, it weighs you.
Oi.
And if you hold the bars just right, it does your blood pressure, or it does your, what is it? Heart rate, yes. All that kind of stuff, and it's like, and then it creates this age that you're really, your body is functioning at.
I'm just an old man, I tell you. I'm 68 years old.
And I thought, you know, if I wait till I'm 65 to retire, I'm going to be 75, and it's going to be like, you know, all the tools and toys that I filled my garage up that I plan on using when I retire, I'm not going to get to use them because I'm going to be so old. I won't even be able to. It's like, and I thought, I'm going to retire now. The only problem is when you retire and the government says you can't have your money until, what do you do? We lived in church-owned homes throughout pretty a lot of our ministry. One time when we were back here in 2020, when Miles and that was, we had a house over on David Street, and I was working for the district doing interim work, but in between interim works, I was also driving a limousine. What a cool gig that is, I'm telling you. You know? And we had a great time. But it was, I knew God wasn't finished with me yet. And I told the youth of yesterday that, prior to encouraging them to come to hear my testimony. And I still think that that's the case. To be able to meet with you and to be a part, for Allison to have a baby and, you know, had kind of been forced under COVID rules to you know, develop a connections ministry. How do you connect people when you can't even physically see them and touch them? And I asked Pastor Tim, you've got the youth side covered. What about the connection side of Allison, Pastor Allison's ministry? And he said, well, what are you saying? And I'm saying, I don't know, maybe. And he just went for it. And he's been doing that with me since then. And part of, I told Pastor very upfront that I'm not 100%. I'm not sure if I'm 80%. Physically, mentally, emotionally. And he looked at me like, that was not a part of the discussion, nor should it be, other than to say that let's do this. And so I tried to learn planning center. Notice I'm not like Luke and Pastor. I didn't bring up some tablet and I'm 58. I got paper. I got a smartphone in my back pocket, but it's on airplane mode. It will not be saying anything today. It's all, you know. But and so about March, after a lot of my struggles were surfacing to the top, and how many times did I quit, Pastor? I'm not sure myself. And it just turned out that as God was preparing, you know, for us to finish up the renovation here and then move out of when I first started coming to church, we were having 10 of us up in the prayer room. It's hard to get to know a congregation, 300 people, with 10 at a time, and all you can see is their eyeballs. It's tough to get to know. I'm the connections pastor. Can I get to see what color eyes you have? You know, like, it's tough. And then we started moving into the gym, and that was weird. And, you know, like, there was just, then sometimes the masks were coming off, and then there were people who were upset that the masks were coming off. And then, you know, so you're trying to connect people with two different views of how to function COVID. It's just been strange. Has it not been strange? Am I the only one that just thinks, aren't you glad it's, I don't think it's over, but I'm going to say it's over. It's over as far as I'm concerned. Jesus is on the throne, and thank God for it. You know what I really like about this renovation? There's no clock in it. Is that intentional? There was never a clock before. How come in Wainfleet they had, you know, the great big one with Roman numerals and it ticked very loud? I don't even know what time. Let me have a look. 11:07, we're doing all right. And Wainfleet only preached 20 minutes. Sorry I said that. We have an amazing preacher, don't we? And Joe, I'm not sure what the COVID rules are right now, but I'm expecting a little bit of an altar call today. Pastor said, oh, what's that mean? Are we going to get close and touch each other? Well, I really think that it's important that we stay true to our tradition. We've been reminded that we are to be in community and to be in communion with each other. So there needs to be those moments where we can draw strength from each other, pray for one another, allow each other to step out in faith and not feel that we are doing it in our own strength, but someone is in behind standing. You had that image of Jesus standing in front of us as we were worshiping this morning. There's a song on the Christian radio station now that that suggests that the things that we are looking at are demons, our fears, our anxieties. We're looking at them, and we're trembling in our footsteps. But the reality is, our Christians, our demons and our fears and our anxieties are looking not at us, but they're looking at the Jesus who's standing behind us. And they are trembling. And they are quaking. And they have been reminded that they have lost and have no victory in our lives. So Jesus is behind us. Amen. Well, so, I told you a little about me. How are you doing? Excellent. I'm not surprised. Looking forward to the flags coming back. Is there a time when flags come back? I don't know what happened. Yeah, there should be, right? They're in your car. You know, a pastor would, I'd say, well, he'd say something about this and those people, who's that, who's that? And then he'd say, well, that's so-and-so, you know, John. And it was, oh, you mean the flag lady. And she's not nearly offended by what I'm saying, right? Because it's true. We all have those. And I have, this is an international church. And there's a lot of names that I cannot put my tongue around. And you know that, you know who you are, and I have tried, haven't I? You know, Kevin and Rhonda is real easy for me, but some of the other ones, and don't give up on me. I'm going to try. So how are you doing again? Excellent. Back there, how you doing, Michael? Good. That was a good one. Good. Over here, Vi, in the back corner. How you doing? She's not going to move her lips. I am not participating in your shenanigans. If it wasn't for Vi and her cup of coffee in the morning, I wouldn't be preaching like this. That's just the way it is. Pat? Hi, up there in the balcony. Awesome. Can you see me? Awesome. Wow. It's going good? How do you like being a Christian, Pastor? You love it? What do you like about it? What do you love about it? Hope. How do you know that? Ah, the Bible. Maria, how do you like being a Christian? Oh, two Marias in a row. Are you Maria? I can say Rita too. Let's go with Maria, and then we'll go back to Rita. Huh? How do you like being a Christian? No other way. Okay, Rita. What do you think? Rita? Rita. Freedom. Awesome. Gloria, you like being a Christian? What is it you like? Jesus. When you think of Jesus, what do you think about? You have to believe that. I believe that, that you have to believe that. I understand what you're saying. Because there's others that are suggesting differently, right? But I'm not going to change. You're not going to back away from that. I believe because I have to believe. Because the other options are not, they're not good for us, are they? Anybody hear his voice? Back seat, black t-shirt. I'm going to say Maria. Yes. What? When you put your hand and you say, I hear his voice, what does that sound like? A little bit I heard was, he helps. I didn't. I was looking for some in the back row. You are in the usher seats. All right. And he's so relaxed these last couple Sundays, taking the tie off. Did you notice that? Looking very relaxed. And you hear the voice of the Lord. Spelling it out. Is that not awesome? It's not sentences, it's not paragraphs. It's letters, one word at a time. And he helps me. You at the black shirt and the girl in the back with the ponytail. You hear his voice? Okay. Right. Yeah, John, right there. And what does that sound like to you? It depends on the circumstance. Depending on the circumstance, it becomes more difficult to hear, or when the pressure's on, he becomes very... Both. I had three sermons. When Pastor asked me to speak, I guess it was in June maybe or something, you were planning your summer, and... Part of my semi-retirement package is I'm a truck driver. I drive truck. My middle son is my boss, and I drive truck in Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and usually 14-hour trips. And so I've got a lot of time. And some of the places I go, I don't even get a radio station, so I just sing and... And Civic Holiday Monday, I even worked. I went up to Penetanguishene, and great time to drive truck when everybody else is taking the day off. I worked 8 hours, but it went so very quickly. And I preached a sermon when I was going by Canada's Wonderland. I could just see the Niagara Worship Center was going to go. Wow, I changed my mind on that one. And I had one yesterday. It was all done up, really. There was a bow on it. Rhonda said last night after I got back from the golf tournament, she said, "You ready for tomorrow?" And I said, "Yeah." Yeah, so Tyler came in and... from Hamilton to be with us for today, and I just came out. I went back. I went into my office. I looked at the sermon. I thought, "Boy, that was Niagara Peaches on the Vine." I mean, that was so sweet, that sermon. It was just, oh, I'm so excited to preach that. Not. Well, what did you do? Well, here's what I've done. Go to James chapter 3. And I should have told you to put that up there, but I guess it doesn't matter. If you have your Bible, that's great. But James chapter 3, verses 13, we're going to go into chapter 4, verse 17. And I've asked myself the question, Kevin, can you hear his voice? What's God want to say to you? Ask yourself the same question. Are you hearing the voice of God? Do you want to hear the voice of God? How is your faith? What is it you think God wants from you? And let's think of these words that James offered the church as words being offered to us, church, today. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. Sounding like prayer, isn't it? In order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the scripture says, God yearns jealousy for the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And James is reminding us that God yearns jealously for your spirit to connect with his Holy Spirit and allow you to receive more grace. Therefore, it says in verse 6, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves there to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And here's the thought that I want us to really take home. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And here he is. Pastors encourage us to allow him to stand right before us. And added to that, not only a worship and a thank you and a praise, but without fear and without trepidation, without any concern of past behavior, not cower away, but draw closer. Someone said sometimes we have to lean into our fears. I suppose it's a good thing that we are fearing God. Because it means that we've brought ourselves under conviction, and we brought ourselves into a place where we're looking at behavior, we're looking at choices that we've made, and we know something's not right, and therefore we know that because what we've learned from God and His Word, and so the human nature, sinful nature, is to back away from that and be embarrassed and ashamed, but church today is we're all in need of that assurance that God loves us, he has come, he stands with you, and he wants you to trust him and draw near to him. And he will then draw near to you even more. Even more. You would think, oh, I'm not worthy. There's no way, Jesus, you will forgive me. And he says in his word today, oh, I love you. And I'm so glad you're here today. And I'm so glad that you have the courage to press in a little bit more. And he reaches out and he loves us. How much does he long to embrace us? His arms are wide open, as wide as they were when they nailed him to a tree. And then he came off that tree and he wraps his nail-scarred hands around us, and he loves us. And it's just not a one-time deal. It's a month-to-month, day-to-day, moment-to-moment, opportunity to be allowed into the arms of the Almighty God, Jesus. To be carried, to be caressed, to be assured that it's going to be all right. It's our moment, it's ours, and it's been made available through the Holy Spirit that has brought us into this transformation life. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, it says in the Scriptures, will quicken our mortal bodies. And we too will rise. And just as Jesus rose from the dead and he found himself on the beach last week, and he drew his disciples into an opportunity to commune with him, to have breakfast with him, that was post-resurrection. Don't forget about Nicodemus in John 3, when he, a very outstanding moral individual, there was none like him in all of that that time, and he wanted to have that one-on-one moment with Jesus, because all of what he knew morally and all of what he knew ethically and all of what he knew religiously as a Jewish person, it wasn't enough. There was something missing. And so he made an appointment to meet with Jesus. He came in the night. He came at a moment when he didn't want anybody else to see really his desperation and his wanting to meet. Because Jesus at that time, I mean, he was well on his way to being crucified because of blasphemous statements that he was the Messiah. And here is Nicodemus, who should be trumpeting that same message. We crucify him. But he said, no, I need to talk to this guy. And so he had a one-on-one. And the Holy Spirit was a part of that conversation. And Nicodemus, he said he wanted to know what was missing, what should he do? And Jesus said, well, it's very simple. You need to be born again. You need to allow my Spirit to come into your spirit and save you. Nicodemus was really struggling with the whole imagery of being born again. Would I have to go back into my mother's womb, you know, and all that stuff? And it was like Jesus said, no. The Father loves you so much. Kids are coming back. Just check here. 11:28. Oh, boy. Pastor, what have I done? I'm over, right? Yeah, somebody put the axes away out there. Here's what I want us to hear. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Allow the Holy Spirit, the transformation power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was going back to be with the Father. He said, "We can't leave them alone. Don't worry." And he gave us the Holy Spirit. Church, hear me. This is what we all need to hear today and every day. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your body and sustain you. The Holy Spirit is resident in you. You are not disqualified from having that relationship with the living God. Now, we all demonstrate how the Spirit is working and manifesting, and some are very demonstrative in that. Some are very, it's really based on your own nature, because the Holy Spirit is very gentle, very kind. Galatians chapter 5, you know, he's loving, gentle, kind, patient, all of those attributes. And so those are resident in our lives. The two things that, if I would have got to page two, and I do have a sermon. I just... Read your Bible, pray every day. And you'll grow. And how will you grow? By the watering of the Holy Spirit on that word. Will be the answer to your struggle. Will be the answer to that person who has pushed your buttons. Who has tested your faith and what you believe in. I'm going to challenge you today. Put your phone in airplane mode a couple times a day. Get a real Bible. Because you can't use it when it's in airplane mode on your phone. Get one that you can write in, underline, tear out pages. And pray the Bible. Pastor, a couple months ago, you taught us how to pray. Give us the quick six words of how to pray. Heavenly Father. Dot, dot, dot. Jesus' name. Amen. And don't think the dot, dot, dots are your wild imaginations and what you should dream up and the lists of things that you want. They are the things that you are reading, devoting yourself to, hearing what other people have struggled through and following their faith. And learning from their experience. We're stupid, aren't we, sometimes? I remember when my mom would say, don't touch the stove, you're going to burn yourself. What does Kevin do? Touch the stove. Right every time. I was convinced that my mother had a third eye. There was one time she was sleeping, resting, and I was going to go in and just part the back of her hair to see if I could see that. Because she had a way of knowing things that there's no way she could have figured that out. I don't know why I told you that.